We already ordered pizza, and Emma is inside on her second round of watching Frozen. He stepped closer, his frown still remaining.
The grass doesn't seem like it was that long to begin with, from what I can tell.
Tanner, I warned, my voice low.
Please tell me you aren't paying him cash, Liz. He's probably using it for drugs or something.
Stop being ridiculous. He cocked an eyebrow.
Ridiculous? I'm being realistic. We don't really know anything about this guy, except that he works with Crazy Henson. And I mean, look at him. He has the look of some psychopath or killer or Hitler or something. It's creepy.
If you want to stop being a jerk, you can head inside and get some pizza. Otherwise, we should catch up later, Tanner. His head shook back and forth.
I'm going to run inside and say hi to Emma, then I'll get out of your hair.
He went inside the house with his hands stuffed in his jeans, and I sighed. When he came out, he gave me a wary smile.
There's something different about you, Liz. I can't put my finger on it, but you're acting strange ever since you came back. It's like I don't know who you are anymore.
Maybe you never did. We'll chat later, okay? He nodded and walked back to his car.
Hey.
He hollered in Tristan's direction. Tristan turned and looked his way with narrowed eyes.
You missed a patch to your left.
Tristan blinked once, then went back to what he was doing as Tanner drove off. After Tristan finished, he walked over to the porch and gave me a semi-broken smile.
Elizabeth?
Yes?
Can I?
His words stuttered off, and he cleared his throat, scratching at his beard. He stepped up closer to me. I watched the sweat sitting at his hairline begin to fall against his forehead, and such a big part of me longed to wipe it away. Can you what? I whispered, staring at his lips longer than I should have. He inched closer, making my heart rate increase. I stopped breathing and simply stared at him. My head tilted slightly as his brown eyes seemed to be staring at my mouth, the same way I stared at his.
Can I?
He muttered. Can you? I echoed.
Do you think?
Do I think? He looked into my eyes. My heartbeat somehow slowed yet sped up all at once.
Do you think I could use your shower? My hot water is out.
A small, low breath passed through my lips, and I nodded. Yes, a shower, yeah, of course. He smiled and thanked me. You can borrow some of Stephen's clothes, so you don't have to run over to your place.
You don't have to do that.
I want to, I nodded. I want to. We headed inside, and I grabbed a plain white t-shirt and a pair of sweatpants from my bedroom for Tristan. Then I picked up some washcloths and towels for him to use. Here you go. There's shampoo and soap in the shower already. I'm sorry, but most of it smells girly. He chuckled.
Better than my current smell.
I hadn't heard him laugh before. It was such a welcomed sound. Okay, well, anything you need can be found under the sink, too. I'll be around.
Thank you.
Anytime, I said, and I meant it. He began chewing on the inside of his cheek and nodded once before closing himself into the bathroom. A sigh left me as I disappeared to go put Emma to bed to keep myself busy until Tristan was done in the shower. Walking down the hallway toward the bathroom, I paused when I reached the open door. Tristan was standing in front of the bathroom sink, wearing only the sweatpants I'd given him. Tristan ran his hands through his long wet hair that he tossed into a man bun on his head. He brought a razor blade to his upper lip, making me twitch. You're shaving? He stopped his movement and glanced my way once before he made his mustache cease to exist. He then trimmed his beard to the point that it was almost invisible. You shaved? I sighed, staring at a man who looked so different than mere minutes before. His lips looked fuller, his eyes brighter. He broke his stare away from me and went back to studying his now nude face in the mirror.
I didn't want to look like a serial killer, or worse, Hitler.
My stomach dropped. You overheard Tanner. He didn't reply. You didn't look like Hitler, I said softly, making him turn and notice that I was gawking at his every move. Trying my best to gather my scattered thoughts, I kept speaking. His comment didn't even really make sense because, you know, Hitler had the... I placed my finger under my nose. Little mustache, and you had the... I moved my hands all around my chin. Lumberjack-type beard. Tanner, he was just being, I don't know, protective of me in a weird way. He's like my big brother, but he was wrong to say those things. And out of line. His face was stone as his gaze searched mine. He had such solid bone structure that made it almost impossible to look away from him. Tristan lifted the shirt from the countertop and slid it over his body before he walked past me, brushing against my shoulder.
Thanks again,
he said. Again, anytime.
Is it hard, seeing me wear his clothes?
Yes, but at the same time, it just makes me want to hug you, because it would kind of be like hugging him.
That's weird.
He smiled, playfully. I'm weird. I didn't expect it, but when his arms wrapped around me, I slowly melted into him. What was shocking was how far away from sadness I felt in that moment. There was something about the way he softly massaged my back and gently rested his chin on my head that brought me a level of peace I hadn't seen in some time. I felt selfish, holding on to him tighter, because I wasn't ready to release the feeling of not being alone. Within those few minutes of Tristan holding me, my mind stopped reminding me how lonely I was. Within those few quiet moments, I found the comfort I had been missing. I hadn't even noticed I was crying until I felt his thumbs rubbing beneath my eyes, wiping the tears away. We were closer together, my hands twisted against the t-shirt, his hands pulling me closer to his body. When his lips separated, my own parted, and we breathed against one another. As his eyes closed, mine faded shut, and we stayed quiet together. I wasn't certain whose lips touched whose first, but we kept them pressed together. We weren't kissing, but merely holding our mouths together, sending breaths into one another's lungs, holding each other up from falling into our own obscurity. Tristan breathed in, while I breathed out. I thought about kissing him.
My hot water isn't out,
he said softly. Really?
Really.
I thought about kissing him again. I looked up into his stormy eyes and saw a bit of life. My heartbeats quickened as I held on to him, not wanting to let go any time soon.
I should go,
he said. You should go, I replied. I thought about kissing him some more. Unless you stayed, I said.
Unless I stayed,
he replied. My best friend told me I should use sex to help me move on from losing Stephen. I sighed against his lips. But I'm not ready to forget. I'm not ready to move on. But I do want this. I sighed, steadying his embrace of me. I want you to be here with me because it helps me. It helps me remember what it felt like to be wanted. I lowered my head, almost embarrassed by my words. I miss having someone to take care of me. Tristan stepped closer, lowered his voice, and brushed his lips against my ear.
I'll help. I'll help you hold on to him. I'll help you remember. I'll take care of you.
We'll use each other to remember them?
Only if you want to.
This sounds like a terrible idea, in the best kind of way.
There's still this giant part of me that misses Jamie every day. And holding you,
his tongue gently danced across my bottom lip,
helps me remember holding her.
Feeling your heartbeats, I placed my hand against his chest, reminds me of his heartbeats.
Running my fingers through your hair.
He tangled his hands through my brown locks making me gasp lightly.
Helps me remember her.
Feeling your skin against my skin? I slowly lifted his t-shirt. Reminds me of him. My head tilted to the left, and I studied his facial structure. The sharp lines of his jaw, the tiny creases in the corners of his eyes, his breath sawed in and out. Everyone in town was convinced that he ran so much because he was trying to run from his past. But that was far from the truth. He was trying to hold on to it daily. He hadn't had any plans to become a true runner anytime soon. If he had been, his eyes wouldn't have looked so pained.
"Pretend with me for a little while,"
I muttered before slowly brushing my lips across his.
"Help me remember him tonight,"
I whispered, a bit shy. His hips pressed against mine, his eyes dilated. He placed his right hand behind my lower back, forcing me to thrust my body against his. I felt his hardness against my inner thigh, and my body slowly began to grind against him.
"Yes."
We moved to the closest wall. His left hand formed a fist and landed against the wall above my head. His brows drew closer, and a deep, weighted sigh rolled through him.
"We shouldn't..."
"Yes."
This time, my mouth parted, and I softly bit his bottom lip as my hand rolled against the fabric of his sweats. My thumb circled the tip of his hardness.
"Yes, yes."
He emitted a low growl and tightened his grip on my back. I watched as his tongue slowly slid from his mouth and ran against my neck, making me shiver inside.
"Do that again."
His hand trailed up under my dress, his touch landing against my inner thigh, and when he rolled his fingers against my wet panties, my heartbeat soared.
"Yes, yes, yes."
I moaned as he pulled the fabric of my panties to the side and slid a finger inside me. Our mouths crashed together, and he whispered a name, but I wasn't certain that it was mine. I whispered one back, not positive that it was his. He was taking me all in as he kissed me hard, his tongue exploring every inch of me. He slid another finger deep inside me as his thumb circled my clit.
"God, you feel so good,"
he growled, feeling my tightness, my wetness, feeling me. My hand slid into his boxers, and I began to stroke him up and down, squeezing lightly and listening to his growls of appreciation.
"Perfect,"
he stuttered, his eyes closed, his breaths growing shorter and shorter.
"Fucking perfect."
It was bad, but so, so good. As my hand worked faster, his fingers sped up. We both panted together, losing ourselves, finding ourselves, losing our loved ones, finding our loved ones. In the moment, I loved him because it felt like loving Stephen. In the moment, I hated him because it was nothing more than a lie. But I couldn't stop touching him. I couldn't stop needing him. I couldn't stop wanting him. He and I together was a terrible idea. We were both unstable. We were both shattered, and there was no getting around it. He was thunder, I was lightning, and we were seconds away from creating the perfect storm.
"Mama?"
a small voice said behind me. I took a big leap away from Tristan's body, his fingers falling from me. I smoothed out my dress, flustered. My eyes shot down the hallway toward Emma, who was holding Bubba in her hand, yawning.
"Hey, baby, what's going on?"
I asked, wiping my hand over my lips. I hurried to her side.
"I can't sleep. Can you come lay with Bubba and me?"
"Of course. I'll be right there, okay?" She nodded and dragged her feet back to her bedroom. When I turned to Tristan, I saw the guilt in his eyes as he readjusted his pants.
"I should go,"
he whispered. I nodded.
"You should go."
Chapter 16. Tristan. We should have stopped that night. We should have realized how bad an idea it was for us to use each other to remember Stephen and Jamie. We were our own ticking time bombs, and we were set to explode. But we didn't care. Almost every day, she stopped by and kissed me. Almost every day, I kissed her back. She told me his favorite color, green. I told her Jamie's favorite foods, pasta. Some nights I climbed out of my bedroom window and straight into hers. Other nights she crawled into my bed. When I entered her bed, she never turned the sheets down. She hardly allowed me on his side of the bed. I understood that more than anyone could have ever known. She undressed me and made love to her past. I slid into her and made love to my ghosts. It wasn't right, yet somehow it made sense. Her soul was scarred, and mine was burned. But when we were together, the hurting hurt a little less. When we were together, the past wasn't as painful to take in. When we were together, I never for a second felt alone. There were plenty of days where I was okay. There were a ton of times when the hurt was just hidden inside of me, but not punching me in the gut. But then there were the days of the big memories. Jamie's birthday was one. It was Jamie's birthday, and that night I struggled. The past demons that were buried deep within my soul were slowly creeping out. Elizabeth showed up to my bedroom. I should have pushed her away. I should have allowed the darkness to swallow me whole. But I can't leave her alone. Occasional flashes of tenderness and care traveled through the two of us as her body rested beneath mine. Her eyes shook me. They always did. Her hair fell against my pillow. "You're stunning," I whispered before wrapping my hand around her neck and lifting, allowing her mouth to find my lips. That night, she was my ecstasy, my hallucinations. I loved the taste of strawberry lip gloss on her lips. Her nude body hid under me, and my lips explored her neck as she arched her spine. "Do you know how beautiful your eyes are?" I asked, sitting up with her pinned beneath me. She smiled again. "That's beautiful, too." My finger outlined the curvature of her body, taking in every inch of her. "They're just brown," she replied, combing her fingers through her hair. She was wrong. They were more than that, and I noticed them more each night I held her against me. If I looked closely, I could see the few flakes of gold floating around the rims of her eyes. "They're beautiful." There wasn't anything about her that wasn't beautiful. My tongue washed against her hard nipple. She shivered. Dependency on my touch dripped from every fiber of her being as she begged me to explore her deepest fears and her sweetest tastes. I slid my hand behind her back and lifted her so we were both sitting up in my dark bedroom. I stared into those beautiful eyes as I spread her legs and positioned her against me. She nodded once, granting me permission to do exactly what she had come over to my place for. I grabbed a condom from my nightstand and rolled it on. "How do you want it?" I asked. "Huh?" My lips rested against hers as I spoke in a whisper, my breaths filling her up inside. "I can be rough, I can be gentle, I can make you scream, I can make you cry. I can fuck you so hard that you won't be able to move. I can fuck you so slow that you'll think I'm in love with you. So tell me how you want it. You're in control." My fingers circled her lower back. I needed her to be in control. I needed her to take charge because I was losing my grip on reality. "Well, aren't you the gentleman?" she nervously said. I cocked an eyebrow. Sighing, she avoided eye contact. "Gentle and slow, like you love me," she whispered, hoping not to sound too desperate. I didn't tell her, but that's exactly how I needed it. That's exactly how I would have loved to love Jamie on her birthday. God, my mind was fucked up. What was scary was how Elizabeth's thoughts were almost a carbon copy of my own. How did two people so broken find each other's shattered pieces? I was slow to enter her at first, my eyes watching how her body reacted to my being inside her. Her eyes wanted to close as I pushed in deeper, her lips parting, allowing a small moan to escape. When my tongue ran across her bottom lip, I was in the strawberry fields, tasting all of her. My hands were shaking, but I stopped the nerves by focusing on her eyes. She caught her breath, placing her hand over her heart for a moment. Her eyes were with mine, staring as if we'd never see one another again. It felt as if we were both terrified of losing that small bit of comfort. Did she see him when she stared my way? Did she remember his eyes? I could almost tell that her heart was beating as hard as mine, working as intensely. "Can I stay the night?" she whispered as I lifted her thighs and placed her back against the headboard. "Of course," I sighed, rolling my tongue against her ear, massaging her breasts in my hands. She shouldn't stay the night, but I wanted her to. I was so terrified of being alone with my thoughts that the reply fell from my mouth like I was begging. "We can pretend till morning," I offered. "She shouldn't stay here," my brain ordered me. "What are you doing?" it scolded. Harder. We both wanted it more and more now, our eyes locked the whole time. Our hips moved in harmony, her pushing up as mine pressed down. "Oh my God," she muttered, breathless. Our heart rates intensified as we allowed our bodies to become one for a while. I slid into her tightness, and she arched her back for more. "Stephen," she whispered, but I didn't even care. "James," I muttered back, and she didn't mind. We were so fucking insane. Deeper. I yanked on her hair as she wrapped her fingers in mine. Each second it grew a bit rougher, a bit wilder, a bit more untamed. "Fuck," I sighed, loving how it felt being between her legs, loving the sweat that rolled down her body. It felt good to be inside her. It felt safe. Faster. I wanted to feel all of Elizabeth. I wanted to bury myself so deep inside her that she would never forget the way I made her skip reality. I wanted to fuck her as if she were my love and I was hers. Lifting her right leg, I placed it over my shoulder. I allowed her to feel every inch of me as she told me to make love to her harder. Did she realize what she'd said? Had she really said love? I knew that it was what we had agreed to, but hearing the words fall from her lips made me lose focus for a moment. I wasn't him. She wasn't her. But my God, it felt good to lie to ourselves. She was out of breath, and I liked the way her head fell back to the headboard. I also liked how her nails dug into my skin as if she never wanted to let me go. Then she blinked once, and when her eyes reappeared, they were holding back tears. The tension of struggling tears strived for an outlet, yet she took a breath instead. Slower. She asked me once more if she could really stay the night. She was probably nervous that I'd kick her out afterward, and she would be forced back into the reality that she was alone. And I was alone. Pre-rejection was swimming in her eyes. But I promised I wouldn't. I could see it in those brown eyes of hers. She hated being by herself with her own thoughts. We had something in common. Gentler. We had many things in common. Laying her down on the mattress, I kept myself inside her but slowed my movements. "I'll stop," I said, seeing tears falling from her eyes. "Please don't," she begged, shaking her head. She dug her fingers deeper into my back, as if she were trying to hold on to something that wasn't even there. "This is nothing more than a dream." "We're dreaming, Elizabeth, we're dreaming. It's not real." She pushed her hips up. "No, keep going." I wiped her tears away, but I didn't keep going. It was wrong. She was broken. I was broken. I removed myself from her warmth and sat up on the edge of the bed. My hands gripped the sides of the mattress. The sheets wrinkled with her every move. She sat up on the other side of the bed. Her hands gripped the sides of the mattress. Our backs faced one another, but I swore I could still feel her heartbeats. "What's wrong with us?" she whispered. My fingers brushed against my temple and I sighed. "Everything." "Was today one of the big moments?" she asked. I nodded, even though she couldn't see me. "Jamie's birthday." She chuckled. I turned around to see her wiping tears away. "I thought so." She stood up, slid on her panties, and tossed on her bra. "How did you know?" She moved over to me and stood between my legs. Her eyes studied my stare and her fingers combed through my wild hair. She placed her hand against my chest, finding my rapid heartbeats. Her lips lay against mine, not kissing me, but feeling my breaths. Because I could really feel how much you longed for her. In those stormy eyes, I could see how disappointed you were that I wasn't her. Elizabeth, I said, feeling guilty. She shook her head and pulled away from me. It's okay, she promised. She picked up her t-shirt and tossed it under her small frame. She slid her pajama shorts up her legs and walked over to my window to leave. Because I'm guessing you could see how disappointed I was that you weren't him, too. We should probably stop doing this, I said as she walked over to her window. She pulled her hair back into a ponytail and smiled. Yeah, probably. She climbed into her house and gave me a sly grin. But we probably won't anyway, because I think we're both a bit addicted to the past. I'll see you later. I fell backward under my bed and groaned, because I knew she was right.
Chapter 17. Elizabeth.
So you're seeing that Tristan Cole guy, huh? Marybeth asked at the book club meeting. I arched an eyebrow as I held Little Women in my grip. What? Oh, honey, you don't have to be shy about it. Everyone in the neighborhood has seen the two of you hanging out. And don't worry, you can tell us all about it. This is a safe place. Susan promised. Yeah, right. He just cuts my grass. We hardly know each other. Is that why I saw you climbing out of his bedroom window at 1 in the morning the other night, because he was cutting the grass? Asked a woman that I'd never even spoken to. I'm sorry, who are you? Oh, I'm Dana. I'm new to the neighborhood. It took everything in me to not roll my eyes. She would fit right in. So is that true? Were you climbing out of his window? I told Dana I didn't believe it because you just lost your husband, and it would be insulting to his memory for you to already be moving on with another man. Marybeth explained. It would be like a slap in the face of your marriage, almost as if your vows were only written in sand and not in your heart. My stomach twisted in knots. Maybe we should talk about the novel, I offered. But they kept asking me questions. Questions I didn't have answers to. Questions I didn't want to answer. The night went on, and it all felt like slow motion. When the end of the night came, I couldn't have been happier. Okay, bye, ladies, Susan said, waving to Emma and me as we left her house. Remember, in 2 weeks, make sure you've read 50 Shades of Grey, and bring notes. I waved goodbye to everyone. By the end of the night, we hadn't spoken one word about Little Women, but I felt extremely belittled by these women. August 23rd. It was just a date to most people, but to me, it was more. Stephen's birthday. One of the big moments. I was supposed to be better at the big moments. The little moments were what were supposed to hurt me the most. I leaned against the tree in my backyard and looked up at the bright sky, the sun rays shining overhead. Emma was playing with Zeus in the small plastic swimming pool I'd bought her, and Tristan was working outside his shed, building a dining room table. Out of nowhere, a white feather came floating past me. A small, tiny feather that somehow stung my soul. An overwhelming feeling of loss flew through me as I hit the palm of my hand against my head repeatedly. My heart was pounding against my chest as memories of Stephen came flooding in, suffocating me, drowning me. I couldn't breathe as I slapped myself repeatedly and slid down the tree trunk, my body shaking uncontrollably. I'm sorry, I cried to myself, to Stephen. I'm sorry, I couldn't. I howled, shutting my eyes. 2 hands landed on my shoulders, and I jumped in fright.
Shh, it's me, Elizabeth,
Tristan whispered, falling to the ground and wrapping his arms around me.
I got you.
I pulled on his t-shirt, pressing my body against him as I soaked him with my tears. I couldn't save him. I couldn't save him. I wailed into his shirt. He was my world, and I couldn't save him. He fought for me, and I couldn't talk anymore.
I couldn't get my scrambled thoughts to leave my choking heart.
Shh, Elizabeth, I got you. I got you.
His voice soothed me as I fell apart, having the first breakdown in a long time. I held on to him, silently begging him to never let me go. That was when he held on tighter. Then I felt two tiny hands wrap around me, and Emma pulled me close to her. "I'm sorry, baby," I whispered, shaking against Tristan and my little one. "Mama's sorry." "It's okay, Mama," she promised. "It's okay." But she was wrong. It wasn't okay, and I wasn't sure if it ever would be. That night, it began to rain. For a while, I sat in my nightrobe, just watching the deluge of raindrops hitting hard against the ground. I cried with the rain, unable to hold myself together. Emma was sleeping in the other room, and Tristan allowed Zeus to stay the night with her. "Make it stop," I begged my heart. "Make the pain go away," I pleaded. I crawled out my window and over to Tristan's. I was soaked within seconds, but I didn't care. I tapped lightly on his window, and he wandered over, shirtless, staring at me. His arms held the edge of the windowsill, showcasing his toned arms.
"Not tonight," he said, his voice low. "Go home, Elizabeth."
My eyes still burned from all the crying. My heart still hurt from all the longing. "Tonight," I argued.
"No."
My fingers wrapped around the string holding my robe together, and I untied it, dropping the fabric to the ground, standing in the rain in only my bra and panties. "Yes."
"Jesus Christ,"
he muttered, sliding his window open.
"Get inside."
I did as he said. A puddle of water formed around my feet, and I shook from the cold, from the hurt. "Ask me how I want it tonight."
"No."
His voice was stern, and he wouldn't make eye contact with me.
"I want it like you love me."
"Elizabeth."
"You can do it hard if you want."
"Stop."
"Look at me, Tristan."
"No."
"Why not?"
I asked, walking close to him as he turned his back to me.
"Don't you want me?"
"You know the answer to that."
I shook my head.
"You don't think I'm beautiful? Am I not as pretty as her? Am I not as good as..."
He shot around and placed his hands on my shoulders.
"Don't do this, Elizabeth."
"Fuck me, please,"
I cried, running my fingers against his chest.
"Please make love to me."
"I can't."
I hit his chest.
"Why not?"
I cried, my vision becoming blurry.
"Why not? I let you touch me when you wanted her. I let you screw me when you needed it. I let you..."
My words faded off, becoming sobs.
"I let you. Why not?"
He grabbed my fists, stopping me from pounding all my anger against his chest.
"Because you're broken. You're extremely broken tonight."
"Just make love to me."
"No."
"Why not?"
"Because I can't."
"That's not an answer."
"Yes, it is,"
he said.
"No, it's not. Stop being a coward. Just tell me why not. Why the hell not?"
"Because I'm not him,"
he shouted, my body shaking in his grip.
"I'm not Stephen, Elizabeth. I'm not what you want."
"You can be, though. You can be him."
"No,"
he said sternly.
"I can't."
I shoved him.
"I hate you,"
I shouted, my throat burning as tears fell against my lips.
"I hate you."
But I wasn't talking to Tristan.
"I hate you for leaving me. I hate you for leaving me. I can't breathe. I can't breathe."
I lost myself in Tristan's arms. I fell apart in a way that I'd never experienced in my life. I shook, I screamed, and a part of me died. But Tristan held me, making sure not all of my soul disappeared that night. Chapter 18. Elizabeth. I waited 2 weeks before I could face Tristan again. I was embarrassed, ashamed of the way I'd broken down in his room. But when he called me over to talk about the possibility of me doing the interior design for his home, I felt as if I had to suck up my fears.
"Are you okay? You seem off,"
Tristan said as he walked Emma and me through his house. I was still so extremely uncomfortable with what I'd done, the way I had fallen apart in front of him. "No, I'm fine," I said, "just taking everything in." I gave him a fake smile that he saw straight through.
"Okay, well, you can do pretty much anything you want with the place. There's the living room, dining room, bathroom, my bedroom, and the kitchen, mainly. And I would love for the study to not look like a complete mess."
I walked into the study, where boxes were stacked on top of boxes. His desk was covered with items, and as he walked Emma and Zeus out of the room, I stayed paused, staring at a receipt partially hidden under some paperwork. I picked it up and read it. 5,000 white feathers. Overnight shipping. I opened one of the boxes on his desk, and my heart skipped as I saw more bags of feathers. He hadn't found the white feathers at Mr. Henson's shop. He'd ordered them. He'd ordered thousands of them, just so Emma's heart wouldn't be broken. Tristan.
"You coming, Elizabeth?"
I heard him shout. I closed the box and hurried out of the room. "Yep, I'm here." I cleared my throat and gave him a smile. "What about your shed?" I asked, catching up to Tristan. "I can fix that up for you, too."
"No, the shed is off limits. That's..."
He paused and frowned.
"It's just off limits."
I narrowed my eyes in understanding. "Okay. Well, I think I've got everything I need for now. I'll draw up some different ideas and make some boards with fabrics and colors for us to go over together later on. I better get going."
"You're in a hurry."
"Yeah, well, you know." I glanced over to Emma, who was playing with Zeus, living in her own world. "Emma has a sleepover tonight that I have to get her ready for." Tristan stepped closer to me and spoke softly.
"Are you angry with me for the night you came over?"
"No," I sighed. "I'm angrier with myself. You did nothing wrong."
"Are you sure?"
"Truly, Tristan. You held me when I needed you the most." I smiled. "But maybe it's best that we don't use each other to remember anymore. Obviously, I can't handle it." He frowned and looked to the ground, almost as if he were disappointed, but within a second he held his head up and gave me a small grin.
"I want to show you and Emma something."
He led us to the back of the house and held the back door open. I listened to the nightly crickets chatting amongst themselves. It was a comforting sound, peaceful even. "Where are we going?" I wondered out loud. He nodded toward the darkened woods as he picked up a flashlight from the back hallway. I didn't ask any more questions. I grabbed Emma's hand and walked beside Tristan. We walked into the night, and he led us deeper into the woods. The skies were star-filled, and a sweet, wet spring air greeted us as we stepped in and out of the shadows between the trees. The branches swung back and forth as we pushed our way through the woods.
"We're almost there,"
Tristan insisted. "But where?" When we reached it, I knew instantly that it was where he wanted to take us, just based on the beauty. My hands covered my mouth to keep from making any sound. There was this odd fear that if I made a peep, all the beauty would vanish. A small river flowed before us. The stream was quiet, as if all the creatures who traveled by the small waves were resting peacefully. Across the river lay what seemed like an old stone packhorse bridge. Through the cracks of stones, flowers were growing, making the view perfect under the moonlight.
"I found this place with Zeus,"
Tristan said, walking over to the bridge and taking a seat.
"Whenever I need to clear my head, I come here to refocus my mind."
I sat beside him, took off my shoes, and slipped my feet into the chilled water. Emma and Zeus splashed in the water joyfully, freely. He turned and gave me a smile that made my own lips turn up. Tristan had a way of making people feel worthy, just by the way his smile and eyes met their face. I wished he smiled more often.
"When I first moved out here, I was angry all the time. I missed my son. I missed my wife. I hated my parents, even though I shouldn't have. For some reason, I found it easy to blame them, as if it was their fault that I lost my wife and son. It felt easier to be mad at them than to be sad. The only time I didn't feel angry was when I came out here and breathed with the trees.
He was opening up. Please stay open. I'm glad you found something that can make you feel a bit of peace. His eyes danced across me, and a knowing smile found his lips.
Yeah, me too.
He ran his fingers against his beard, which was growing in fast.
Since we aren't using each other anymore, you can use this place if you want, to help you find peace.
I smiled. Thank you. He simply nodded in response. Emma jumped into the river and made huge splashes, pretty much soaking us all. Even though I wanted to scold her, the smile on her face and the excitement in Zeus made me happy.
Thanks for bringing us here, Tick. I love it, she shouted, tossing her hands up in excitement.
Anytime, Tristan smiled.
I'm glad my daughter likes you. Otherwise, I would have never spoken to you again. He laughed.
I'm glad my dog likes you. Otherwise, I would have been convinced that you were a psycho. A person should always trust their pet's instincts. Dogs are better at judging the character of a person than people are.
Is that so?
It is.
He paused and ran his fingers through his hair.
Why does your daughter keep calling me Tick?
Oh, because the first time we met, I called you a dick, and she asked what a dick was, and seeing as how I'm an awful parent, I told her I said Tick, and explained to her that a tick is a bug.
So she thinks I'm a parasite that lives on the blood of mammals?
I think it's actually an ectoparasite, seeing as how they live on the outside of the mammals, as opposed to in the interior. And they live on some amphibians, too. He snickered.
Well, that makes me feel better.
I laughed. It should.
Elizabeth?
Yes?
I know we can't do what we were doing before anymore. But can we be friends?
He asked timidly. I thought you didn't know how to be a friend.
I don't.
He sighed, rubbing his neck.
But I was kind of hoping you could show me.
Why me?
You believe in good things, even when your heart is broken. And I can't remember what good things are like.
That saddened me. When was the last time you were happy, Tristan? He didn't reply. That saddened me even more. Of course we can be friends, I said. Everyone deserved at least one friend who they could trust with their secrets and fears, with their guilt, with their happiness. Everyone deserved a person who could look into their eyes and say, "You're enough. You're perfect, scars and all." I think Tristan deserved that more than most, though. In his eyes, he held such sadness, such pain, and all I wanted to do was wrap my arms around him and let him know that he was good enough. I didn't want to be his friend because I felt bad for him, though. No, I wanted his friendship because, unlike most, he saw past my own fake happiness, and he would sometimes stare at me as if he were saying, "You're enough, Elizabeth. You're enough, scars and all." Tristan's eyebrows furrowed, and he looked at me as if he was seeing me for the first time. I stared at him as if I would never see him again. Neither of us wanted to blink. The seriousness of the moment started making us both uncomfortable. As he cleared his throat, I cleared mine. "Too much?" I asked.
"Too much indeed. So, on another note," he ran his hands through his hair, "I noticed a certain 50 Shades of Grey book in your hands when I last cut the grass."
My cheeks reddened and I shoved him. "Don't judge me. It's for my book club. Plus, it's good."
"I'm not judging." "Okay, well, I am. Only a little, though."
"Don't knock it till you've tried it," I smirked.
"Oh, and how much of it have you actually tried?"
He gave me a smug look, and I swore my cheeks were on fire. Snickering, I started walking back toward our houses. "You're such an ass," I muttered. "Come on, Emma, let's get you cleaned up and get you to your sleepover."
"You're going the wrong way,"
Tristan remarked. I paused, turned around, and walked past him again. going the opposite way. "You're still an ass." I smiled. He smiled back and walked beside me as Emma and Zeus followed our lead. It was 10:30 at night when I heard the banging. I dragged myself out of bed to answer the door. Susan was standing there with her arms crossed beside Emma, who was still in her pajamas, holding her overnight bag and Bubba. "Susan, what's going on?" I asked, alarm filling me up. "Emma, are you okay?" She didn't reply. She just stared at the ground, almost embarrassed. I turned back to Susan. "What happened?"
"What happened?" she hissed. "What happened was that your daughter thought it was okay to tell stories about zombies to the rest of the girls, making them all freak out. Now I have 10 girls at my house who won't go to sleep because they're afraid of nightmares."
I frowned. "I'm sorry. I'm sure she didn't mean any harm. I can come over and talk to the girls if you want. I'm sure it's all a misunderstanding."
"A misunderstanding?" she huffed. "She started walking like the Walking Dead and said she wanted to eat brains. You told me she didn't suffer any trauma from Stephen's death."
"She didn't," I said, anger building in my stomach. I looked down at Emma and saw tears falling from her eyes. Bending down, I pulled her into a hug. "It's okay, honey."
"Well, obviously she's not okay. She needs professional help."
"Emma, honey, cover your ears really fast," I said. She did. My insides tightened, and I stood tall, facing Susan. "I'm going to say something, and I mean this in the nicest way possible. If you say one more thing about my daughter, I will literally kick your ass, pull out your hair extensions, and tell your husband that you've been screwing the checkout boy at the grocery store."
"How dare you?" she cried, horrified by my words. "How dare I? How dare you think it's appropriate to walk up to me and tell me things about my daughter in such a rude, demeaning fashion? I think it's time for you to go."
"I think it is. Perhaps you should stay away from our book club, too. Your energy and lifestyle is toxic to our group. Keep her away from my Rachel," Susan ordered, walking off.
"Don't worry," I shouted. "I will."
There was something that happened to the sanest people when others talked about their children. You turned into a beast and would do anything and everything to protect your children from the wolves of the world. I wasn't proud of the words I'd said to Susan, but from the bottom of my heart, I meant every single one. I walked Emma into the living room, and we sat down.
"Mama, the girls said I was a freak because I liked zombies and mummies. I don't want to be a freak."
"You're not a freak," I promised, pulling her closer to me. "You're perfect the way you are."
"Then why did they say that?"
she asked.
"Because,"
I sighed, trying to find the right answer.
"Because sometimes others have a hard time embracing people's differences. You know that zombies aren't real, right?"
She nodded.
"And you didn't try to scare the other girls, did you?"
"No," she said quickly.
"I just wanted them to play with me as the characters from Hotel Transylvania. I didn't want to scare them. I just wanted to have friends."
My heart is breaking.
"You want to play with Mama?"
I asked. She shook her head.
"No."
"Well, how about we watch a cartoon on Netflix and have our own sleepover?" Her eyes lit up and the tears stopped.
"Can we watch Avengers?"
she asked, loving superheroes almost as much as her father had.
"Of course,"
I said. She fell asleep right as the Hulk appeared on screen. I placed her in bed, kissing her forehead. She began to smile in her sleep, and then I went to bed to find my own dreams. Chapter 19. Elizabeth.
"Tristan," I faintly muttered. My breaths were uneven, heavy. His hand brushed against my cheek.
"Suck it slow,"
he ordered, running his thumb against my bottom lip. He slid his finger into my mouth, allowing me to suck it gently as he rocked it in and out of my mouth, before pulling it away from me and running the wetness down my neck, against my bra strap, down my cleavage. My nipples were hardening from his touch, longing for his mouth to find its way to each one.
"You're beautiful," he said. "You're so fucking beautiful."
"We shouldn't," I moaned, feeling his hardness pressed against my panties. "We should," I thought to myself. "We're not supposed to do this anymore." My breaths were heavy, hungry for him to be inside me, hungry for him to take me deeply. I wanted him to turn me around, lift my legs, and take me hard. He ignored my protest, as I wanted him to, twisting my hair in one hand and moving his other down my body, landing at my black lace panties.
"You're wet,"
he said, bending in closer to me, running his tongue against my cheek before he slipped his mouth over mine. He whispered as he slid his tongue between my lips.
"I want to taste all of you,"
he hissed. His fingers rolled against my panties, my breaths catching as his thumb circled my clit through the faint fabric. "Please," I begged. I arched my back, longing for his hand to remove the thin barrier.
"Not here,"
he said, lifting me up to a sitting position. He slid my panties to the left and bent down, allowing his tongue to taste my wetness. My hips involuntarily arched in his direction as my hands ran through his hair. When he lifted his head, he rested his mouth against mine, allowing me to taste myself, to taste him.
"I want to show you something,"
he muttered against my lips. "Anything. Show me anything." My eyes fell to his erection, hidden beneath his boxers, and a smile came to my lips. He lifted me off the bed and pressed me against the closest door.
"How bad do you want it?"
"Bad," I thought, unable to speak. My heart was racing, and I was almost afraid it would give up on me, unable to keep up with my wants, my desires. I wanted to explode for him. I wanted to lose myself to him. His hips rocked toward me as he pushed his hardness against my body.
"I want to show you the room,"
he whispered against my ear, flicking his tongue up and down before sucking my lobe. I replied as he carried me down the hallway. There was a room to my left, which I hadn't noticed when I'd first arrived. "What is..." He shushed me, placing his hand over my lips.
"It's my green room,"
he muttered, pushing the door open. "Your what?" Before he could reply, I turned around and saw a room filled with all green furniture. Green whips, green dildos, green everything. "What the..." I shut up and kept looking around. "This is kind of weird, babe."
"I know,"
he said with a deep tone of voice. When I turned back to him, my throat burned as a scream escaped me, and I was staring at a huge green man who was holding me against his body. His eyes were glowing green, and he held me up.
"Incredible Hulk wants to smash you."
"Holy shit!" I screamed, shaking myself from a very weird, twisted nightmare. Within seconds, Tristan was standing at his bedroom window looking at me.
"Are you okay?"
I looked down to see I was wearing a white tank top with white panties and no bra. I screamed again, covering my chest with a blanket. "Oh my God, go away!" I hissed, freaking out.
"I'm sorry, I heard you screaming."
He paused and raised an eyebrow, looking into my eyes.
"Did you just have a sex dream?"
He started chuckling, covering his mouth with his hand.
"You just had a sex dream."
"Go away," I said, leaping up from my bed and closing my window shades.
"Okay, okay, you nasty woman, you. I told you about those books."
My cheeks blushed over, and I collapsed back on my bed, pulling the cover over my head. Freaking Incredible Hulk. Freaking Tristan Cole. Chapter 20. Elizabeth.
"You've been avoiding eye contact with me all day,"
Tristan said as he moved some items around in Needful Things. I sat at the counter, watching Mr. Henson make me an herbal tea mixture. Emma and Zeus were running around on a hunt for random objects in the store. We'd been coming to Mr. Henson's shop weekly now for tea, hot cocoa, and every now and again a tarot reading. I was beginning to love the place.
You don't have to be shy about it. I'm pretty sure it happens to everyone,
Tristan explained. What are you talking about? I'm not avoiding you, and I don't know what happens to everyone because nothing happened to me. I huffed, totally avoiding his stare. Each time I looked at him, I couldn't stop blushing and imagining his shirt busting open as he transformed into a beast.
It was just a sex dream,
he said. It wasn't a sex dream, I vocalized, sounding a little too guilty. Tristan turned to Mr. Henson with a smug smirk on his face.
Elizabeth was having a sex dream last night.
Shut up, Tristan! I screamed, slamming my hands against the table. My face was beet red, and I couldn't stop it from heating up. Mr. Henson looked at me, and then at my tea mixture, and added a few more herbs.
Sex dreams are normal. Was it a good sex dream?
Tristan badgered me. I was 5 seconds away from figuring out a way I could beat him up. My lips parted to deny the dream, but I couldn't. My hands cupped my face, and I sighed heavily. We aren't talking about this.
Come on, you have to tell us now,
he said, walking over to sit on the stool beside me. I twisted away from him. He took my stool and twisted me back toward him.
Oh, crap,
he muttered, looking at me with eyes filled with understanding.
Shut up, Tristan,
I muttered again, unable to look at him for too long.
You had a sex dream about me?
He hollered, and I slugged him in the arm as a reflex at his words. Mr. Henson snickered.
Plot twist.
A wicked smile spread across Tristan's face, and it was official. I am dying. He leaned in and whispered,
Did I do that thing with my tongue to your lips?
I blushed. Which lips are we talking about? I whispered back. His wolfish grin deepened.
You filthy, filthy girl.
Pushing myself off of my stool, my eyes met Mr. Henson. Can I get that in a to-go cup?
Oh, come on, Elizabeth, I need to know more,
Tristan said, laughing at my embarrassment. I ignored him and took my tea, which Mr. Henson had transferred to a to-go cup. I'm not talking to you, I said, moving to leave the store. Come on, Emma, let's go.
Just a few more details,
he begged as I held the front door open. A heavy sigh left me, and I turned his way. You took me to a green room, where you transformed into a green monster and started smashing me around the room, and I mean smashing in every possible sense of the word. Blinking eyes, blinking eyes, blank stare, blank stare.
Come again?
His paramount confusion almost made me burst into laughter. You wanted to know.
You're a really, really odd woman.
Mr. Henson smiled.
Ah, the same thing happened to me during the summer of 1976.
You had a sex dream? I asked, confused.
Dream? No, honey. I was tossed around a green room and smashed.
Awkward moment number 5,442 of my stay in Meadows Creek. On that note, I'm leaving. Thanks for the tea, Mr. Henson.
I'll be by to cut the grass later today,
Tristan said. I knew there was nothing dirty about his words, but still, I blushed as if there was. That afternoon, Faye came over because I wanted her help picking out the best designs and paint colors for Tristan's house. She always had such a solid eye for the tiny details. We sat on the front porch with the 3 design boards I'd created, but instead of her focusing on the task at hand, she was watching the handsome man cutting my grass. Standing on his feet, helping him push the lawnmower, was Emma, who was convinced that she could cut grass better than Tristan. She argued with him the whole time, telling him how he was doing a terrible job. He just smiled and sassed her back. Faye stared at Tristan, almost awestruck at his transformation. She hadn't seen him since he cut off all of his hair and revealed his strong bone structure. She also hadn't ever seen him smile until today. His beard was all